Sir Louis Scatcherd has come back to Boxall Hill. He had been taken very ill in London, had suffered an attack of delirium tremens, and was persuaded to put himself under his mother's care and mine. Oh, it is a sorry business, this. I must struggle with the son just as I did with his father, must strive to persuade him not to ruin his body with drink. I will stick to my wretched task, of course. I promised his father that I would, and that is obligation enough. But there is another, even greater hold on me. For Sir Roger Scatcherd's will decrees that if Louis dies before the age at which he is to inherit his father's money, then it is Mary, my own niece, who will become the heir. Well, it may happen. It may transpire that I cannot prevent it. But I must do all in my power to save the poor fellow from dying. I owe it to my own conscience.
Dr. Thorne by Anthony Trollope. Dramatized for radio in 3 episodes by Martin Wade. Starring John Wood as Dr. Thorne, Amanda Root as Mary Thorne, Eleanor Bron as Lady Arabella Gresham, Christopher Benjamin as Squire Gresham, Michael Higgs as Frank Gresham, Selina Cadell as Miss Dunstable, and Adrian Lucas as Louis Scatcherd. Episode 3.
As you see, I am much improved.
I think you are. And there was, of course, much improvement to be made. There still is.
Oh, no, Doctor. I'm pretty well as good as new.
That you are not, Sir Louis. But you will be in tolerable health, I think, if you do as I have asked you and are prudent.
It's not the drink, Doctor. Not now. If it ever was. Well, I like to take a cherry brandy of an evening, you know, but...
Sir Louis...
Nothing much more than that. I'm on the quiet line. By Jove, yes.
Well, the matter rests entirely with you.
Yes, yes.
You must keep your lips from that accursed poison.
I will.
For if you don't, you'll have nothing in this world to look forward to.
Dr. Thorne, I aim to live, believe me. I'm talking of things I might look forward to. What is happening with Greshamsbury?
Greshamsbury?
Yes, the title deeds of the estate that were requested as a condition of the loan my father made.
That will all be settled by the lawyer, Sir Louis.
Oh, no doubt, and settled with a pretty fine bill, too. Now, I have a right to ask about these things, Doctor.
Of course you have.
There's at least £80,000 owing from that Gresham fellow, and £80,000 is no joke.
Indeed, it isn't, but I can assure you that the deeds will be secured by the end of the month.
Well, that's all right, then. I may not be of age yet. Well, not at least according to that confounded will, but that's no reason why I shouldn't know what's going on.
You shall know everything that I know, Sir Louis.
Good. And just who is this cousin of mine?
I'm sorry?
The one who's referred to in the will, who's next in line for the money.
Well, she is a young woman. The eldest child of your aunt.
Oh, lives in America, I suppose. Has she been told about the will?
No, Sir Louis. No, she has not.
Well, that's good. As I say, I aim to live. I wouldn't like to disappoint her.
I am told that Frank is back at Greshamsbury for his summer vacation. I had hoped, while he was gone, that I would not think about him too much. And yet I find that I have thought about him more and more as each long day has passed. But why should it not be so? Why should I not think of him and pray for him and dream of him? Why should I not admit the truth to myself and say with all my heart, I love him?
I thought that before you were too far into your vacation, Frank, you and I might have a talk.
I have heard about Mary.
Well, it is about Miss Thorne.
I have heard that she has been banished from this house.
Beatrice told you, I suppose.
I have heard also that she and Beatrice have been forbidden from seeing each other, whether it be at the house or anywhere.
Frank, you must not be angry with me.
Mother, I cannot help but be angry.
You must not be duped by Miss Thorne. You must not.
Duped?
You must give her up. Promise me you will.
I will make no such promise. Indeed, since you press me, I will tell you fairly that my mind is made up. I will marry Mary Thorne.
No! No! Oh, heavens! You wicked boy, Frank! You're saying this purposely to drive me distracted.
I will marry her if she will consent. Oh, I have no reason to hope that she will.
Oh, she'd consent if you were asked. The girl is doing all she can to catch you.
No, Mother, you wrong her. Wrong her most cruelly.
Oh, a gracious boy.
If there was any fault, it was mine. Mary has given me no encouragement. She has behaved exactly as you would have wished her to. And as a reward for that, oh, you have turned her out.
Thank you, Frank. Do you wish to see me die of a broken heart?
Oh, I want to make you happy, Mother, if I can.
Then you must give up this mad idea of yours. You must marry a girl with money, Frank. You must.
No, Mother. No. I made an ass of myself once before because of that idea, and I won't do it again. I'll take up a profession. I'll become a farmer. Anything. But I won't marry money.
There's one other thing, Doctor. A bit of news that'll interest you.
Really?
Well, by Jove, I think it'll astonish you.
Really?
I'm intending to get married.
Married? Oh, I'm delighted to hear it. That's assuming, of course, that you marry well.
Oh, yes, I intend to do that.
Splendid. It was your father's eager wish, you know, that you should be married early.
Well, yes, that's very much what persuaded me.
Is there anyone in particular whom you have in mind to marry?
Well, yes, Doctor. There is. And since you've talked of my marrying well, I don't suppose you'll quarrel with my choice. I'm thinking of marrying Miss Mary Thorne.
What?
Your niece, Doctor. Well, you can hardly disapprove of her.
Now I confess I am astonished. Have you spoken to Miss Thorne about this?
Well, I have and I haven't. I mean, I've not exactly popped the question to her, but I've been doing the civil, you know. And if she's up to snuff, as I believe she is...
Up to snuff?
She'll know pretty well what I'm after.
Good afternoon, Doctor.
Well, Frank.
Good afternoon.
A pleasant surprise.
Are you well?
I am, thank you. You've been at Boxall Hill, I suppose.
Yes, I've been treating the invalid, you know, Sir Louis.
Ah, yes. Well, I'm going there myself.
Indeed.
Lady Scatcherd is at home?
She is.
I understand that Mary is staying with her.
That is correct. Frank?
Yes, Doctor?
I do wish that... No. No matter. A good day to you, Frank.
And to you.
Come along, boy.
Mary!
Hello?
Mr. Gresham.
Yes, Mr. Gresham. I'm here to pay my respects to you. And you must forgive me for not doing so before.
Not at all, Mr. Gresham. I came to Boxall Hill to be out of the way, you know.
Yes. Oh, Mary.
I hope all my friends at Greshamsbury are well. Is Beatrice quite well?
Yes, she is. We are all well.
Oh, I'm glad. Do you like my mount, Mr. Gresham?
I think he's a splendid beast, and a very fortunate one to have you for his rider. Mary, do you remember the last occasion that we were together?
Yes, Mr. Gresham, I do. You had just celebrated your birthday, your 21st.
That's right. And do you remember what I said to you?
I remember that you were very foolish, Mr. Gresham. Oh, you must excuse me. My splendid beast wishes to return to the stable.
Well, I think I can keep pace. Mary, I intend to repeat my folly, if folly it is. I told you on that day that I love you. And I dare say I told you it very awkwardly. Perhaps I will be just as awkward a second time around. But you ought to believe me this time, now that you know that a year has not altered me.
A year should have taught you to be wiser. You should have learned by now that your fate and mine are not cast in the same mould.
Dearest Mary, I don't think I could ever learn that. Unless you yourself persuaded me. If you will not, or cannot, return my love, then I will go away. From Greshamsbury, I mean, so that you will not be banished from all you hold dear. If I am nothing to you, I will go away. And I'll try to get over it as best I can. Have you no answer, Mary?
Forgive me.
Have you no word of comfort? Mary, you were always honest. Be honest now and answer me. Will you be my wife?
Mr. Gresham.
Just one word, Mary. Or, if you will not speak, here is my hand. Let it lie in yours.
Oh, Frank.
Oh, my love. My own Mary.
His own. Well, and may I not, though basely born, be a fitting wife for Frank Gresham? Not so long ago, of course, I argued against a marriage of such a kind, against good blood mixing with bad. But now, my heart does not find the argument quite so strong. Am I indeed to sacrifice my happiness, Frank's happiness too, on the altar of mere prejudice?
So, Frank, where did you go to?
I went to Boxall Hill.
Boxall Hill?
Mary Thorne is staying there.
Yes, I know. Was it wise to go there, Frank? And was it fair on Miss Thorne?
The fact is, sir, that I have made up my mind to marry Mary Thorne.
I see.
Hitherto she has refused me, but I now believe that she would be willing to be my wife. Do you have any personal objection to her as a daughter-in-law?
Well, no, I have no personal objection as such. She's a fine girl. But, Frank, marriage to Miss Thorne would be, well, impossible.
No, Father.
What would you live on? How would you manage? You wouldn't wish to see your wife distressed and comfortless, surely.
No, but if I were to wait till I had found myself a professional...
Oh, Frank!
Father, I am pledged, and I won't go back. So what do you say?
Do you know anything at all about Miss Thorne's history? Her birth, I mean. Her parentage?
No.
Nor does she, I think. But you should be told it, Frank. Not so you might be turned from her, but because simply you should know that her birth was not such as would be becoming for a wife of yours or beneficial to your children.
If so, I should have been told it sooner.
Perhaps. But you see, I learned the truth from Dr. Thorne and promised him I would keep it secret. And I have not thought it right to break that promise till now. Well, Frank, Sir Roger Scatcherd, plain Roger as he was then, I mean more than 20 years ago when he was a stonemason in Barchester, he had a sister. She was named Mary. A woman of great beauty she was. And Dr. Thorne, who was also living in Barchester at that time, he had a younger brother, Henry Thorne. Henry was a companion of Scatcherd's, a drinking companion, and he became very attached to Scatcherd's sister and said that he would marry her. She was a good woman, this Mary, but the devil tempted Henry Thorne to tempt her, and she was seduced. I'll have a little more wine, Frank, if you'd be so kind.
Yes, of course.
Well, Word spread that Mary Scatcherd was with child. And her brother, as soon as he heard, got himself drunk, sought Henry Thorne out, and beat him to death.
Good Lord.
That was how Dr. Thorne became known to my father, who in his position as county magistrate witnessed and was greatly taken with the energy and generosity shown by the doctor. For though Dr. Thorne at first was furious for vengeance against his brother's murderer, he soon came to understand the provocation that Scatcherd had been under, and he did what he could to help him, and to help Scatcherd's sister too. Paid for Scatcherd's defence, paid for Mary Scatcherd's needs and comforts. And when the trial was over, and Scatcherd was imprisoned, for 6 months, I believe it was, my father invited Dr. Thorne to Greshamsbury, and the doctor established himself in the village.
And Mary Scatcherd's baby was born?
Yes.
It was a girl?
Yes.
And she was called after her mother?
Yes. She was Mary. Mary Thorne.
Well.
With the mother's consent, Dr. Thorne took charge of the baby, and Mary Scatcherd married a former suitor of hers and went to America. This was all while Scatcherd was in prison. As for the little girl, she was brought up by Dr. Thorne.
And when she was older, she was permitted to come to Greshamsbury House.
Permitted, rather encouraged. Well, I encouraged her. And she became friends with your sisters. Became friends with you. Was taught music with the girls and French and other things. Became a part of the family. And never knew the circumstances of her birth. Poor girl. She'll have to learn them someday.
Yes. But none of this makes any difference. It can't diminish my love for Mary, nor can it cause me to break my engagement. Father, I have promised myself to Mary Thorne. I shan't break that promise.
I assume you have heard about this engagement.
Yes, Mr. Gresham, I have heard about it. I have also heard that Frank is to go abroad for a while.
He is, yes, after he takes his degree. I thought it might help if he was given some time, if Miss Thorne had time as well, perhaps, to reflect and consider.
You mean Frank is to meet any number of beautiful and fashionable women on his travels, and as a result is completely to forget about Mary and his engagement?
Dr. Thorne.
It's an ingenious plan, I'm sure, and one which is bound to appeal to Lady Arabella.
But you think it won't work?
Wouldn't stake much money on it.
I am not permitted to write to Mary while I am gone. That is part of the agreed terms of my exile. But I will write to Miss Dunstable, which might help to keep me in good spirits. Oh, it will be very hard being away from Mary. But being away, I will at least gain some respite from the arguments and cheerlessness I have had to suffer at home. And will not my heart, while I am absent, become ever fonder still?
You should not be here, Beatrice. You and I should not be talking.
Oh, but I asked Mother if I might visit you today, because I have something very important to tell you, and she gave me permission.
Well, if Lady Arabella has allowed us to talk, then I am happy.
Oh, Mary, dearest, do not be cold. I have such happy news. Mary, I am to marry.
Oh, Peter.
I am to marry Mr. Oriel.
Mr. Oriel? Are you not pleased for me?
Yes, yes.
And do you not think Mr. Oriel is a good man?
Oh, yes, I am certain he is.
Is the day fixed?
It's the 1st of September. It might have been sooner, but we wanted to wait until Frank was likely to have returned.
You will be one of my bridesmaids, will you not, Mary, dearest?
Oh, Beatrice.
You always said you would if ever I got married.
Yes, yes, I did, but things are all altered now, and that promise must be broken.
Oh, Mary. You'll come to the wedding, though?
No, Beatrice, I do not think I will. I do not think I can.
Mary!
I will never be among your family again, I fear. Never again enter Greshamsbury House, not at least until your brother is a married man, or I am a married woman.
But when I am married and have a house of my own, you'll come and see me then?
Yes, Beatrice. I shall come and see you then.
Well, shan't you be glad to come?
I don't know. There may be circumstances which even then will cause some friction between us.
What sort of circumstances?
You are going to be married to Mr. Oriel, to a man you love. Suppose I should wish to be married to someone whom I love.
I very much hope you will, Mary, someday.
No, Beatrice, I don't think you do. For it is your brother I love. And I love him as fondly, truly and tenderly as you love Caleb Oriel.
Do you?
Why are you surprised? You love Mr. Oriel, though you have known him hardly more than 2 years. Why should I not love Frank Gresham? Why should I not marry Frank Gresham when I have known him for so much of my life?
How much of Frank's exile is being spent among beautiful and fashionable ladies, I am not in a position to say. But his father, it seems, has acquired little evidence that Frank has progressed towards forgetting Mary. And now I hear there is an additional anxiety to Squire Gresham. Namely, Lady Arabella's health, which has not at all improved under Dr. Filgrave's supervision. I would help, or try to, if Lady Arabella were to ask for me. But she is not yet ready to do that. In desperation, the squire has sent for those two very eminent London physicians, Sir Lambda Mu Nu and Sir Omicron Pi.
Well, Sir Lambda. Well, Sir Omicron.
Lady Arabella, we are able broadly to concur with Dr. Filgrave's diagnosis.
But we are by no means satisfied with the remedy that he has proposed.
I see.
Nukes of Omicron and Cenopods are not, in our estimation, likely to be of much assistance in restoring her ladyship to good health.
Rather, your ladyship, we would recommend that you take one of these pills 3 times daily for 2 weeks.
Your husband mentioned another doctor, I think.
Yes, Sir Lambda, Dr. Thorne.
Was he your doctor prior to Dr. Filgrave?
He was...
We are doubtful, Lady Arabella, if the change has been a beneficial one.
Happy as we are to visit your ladyship whenever our London practice should permit us...
We would advise...
Very strongly...
...that you revert to Dr. Thorne.
It is very good of you to visit Ointment Hall. Are you staying long in town?
A few days, Miss Dunstable, that's all. And then it will be time for me to return home.
I must thank you for all your letters. I had great fun tracing your journey.
I'm afraid I missed Rome and the fat Pope.
A shame. But you are well travelled, nonetheless. A true knight errant?
I don't feel like a knight, errant or otherwise.
But you are still true, surely. You still love Miss Thorne, do you not?
Oh, yes. I love her. But... Oh, what am I to do?
What are you to do? Why? Marry her, I hope.
Well, that was my hope, too. But I must live, and so must she. And I still have no idea how we shall find money, or if the estate will have to be sold.
Come now, Frank. This is poor talk. He's a knight to be frightened by every lion that he finds in his path. If you want money, you'll have to earn it.
Yes. Yes, I must. I must try to do that. Though I fear, as the son of a squire, that I'm not as well prepared for money-making as I should like to be.
You will learn, brave knight. You will learn how to earn. And listen, what you still lack, I will supply.
Oh, you are most kind and most generous. But as I told you that evening at Courcy Castle, I do not seek your money, dearest Miss Dunstable.
Well, whether you become rich or poor, or... whatever may happen to the Greshamsbury estate, remember that nothing is more precious than your own heart. That is your estate, Frank Gresham, your very own. And you must not offer it for sale.
No.
But why must Sir Louis come here, Uncle?
Why? Because he wants money. From me.
Well, that is from the Scatcherd estate. And also from Mr. Gresham, who owed money to Sir Roger.
Does he say how long he will be with us?
No. He'll stay until he's satisfied, I suppose. I tell you, Mary, if I had known at the start what strife and vexation all this business would bring me, I would have given Sir Roger a flat refusal and told him to look for an executor elsewhere. Is there another cup of tea, my dear?
Uncle, this will be your sixth.
No, no, it's just my fourth, I think.
Your sixth, Uncle, indeed, indeed. Is Sir Louis growing worse, Uncle?
He is. He grows worse in health, he grows worse in everything. He is alcoholic, he is sickly. Well, he's not too sickly that he cannot bother and badger me. He is young and has the manner of a fool. And yet he knows his rights and is determined to have them.
Mr. Gresham, I think, borrowed a great deal of money from Sir Roger.
He did. Which Sir Louis is keen should be paid back swiftly. I fear that things are looking grim for Mr. Gresham. He has got himself a new lawyer, you know, recommended by the De Courcys. Things must be very grim.
Oh, no, Mr. Gatsby. I will not permit Sir Louis Scatcherd to come to this house.
Just for an evening, I mean.
No, Mr. Gatsby, I think not. His father, you know, was a very coarse, vulgar person. A drunkard, too.
Yes.
And the son, by all accounts, is not much better.
No better at all, Lady Arabella. It's a mere month since I began work on your husband's behalf, but in that short time, I have already received four deeply unpleasant, not to say menacing, letters from Sir Louis. Lady Arabella, it is clear that Sir Louis has come from London to wrest all he can from the Greshamsbury estate, or to attempt to. But your ladyship has been blessed with great wisdom and good sense, and will therefore acknowledge that by offering Sir Louis hospitality, we might be able, how shall I say, to work upon him, dame him somewhat.
Well, yes, I suppose so.
I believe Sir Louis is staying with the executor of the Scatcherd estate, Dr. Thorne.
Yes.
Yes. Your ladyship might perhaps consider it wise to invite him, too.
Yes, Gatsby, I might. Indeed, I was already of half a mind to renew my acquaintance with the doctor.
The fellow scoundrel offered £100 and
he owed it. I'm very well, thank you, Lady Arabella. But you, I understand, have not been entirely free from illness.
A recurrence, Doctor. A relapse.
Oh, dear.
But I think I'm a little better now.
Splendid. I'm relieved to hear it.
Beautiful this evening.
I didn't know that Frank would be here this evening.
Well, nor did we. He arrived just a few hours ago.
The year away has not, I think, done him any harm. He's very much a man of the world. As he should be, I suppose, having travelled much of the way round it.
Yes, yes, indeed. Dr. Thorne, my present health, as I say, is slightly improved. But as regards the future, it seems to me, on reflection, that it would be unwise were I not to avail myself of your expertise and particular experience.
Well, you were doubtless right to try what other medical skill could do. But if you are happy to call upon my services again, I in turn will be happy to oblige.
Good. So, we are friends once more. And as such, Doctor, let us talk about Mary and this dreadful estrangement between my family and her. Cannot we do anything to put an end to it?
Well, what can I say? That depends so wholly upon yourself.
If it depends on me, it shall be done at once. And then life can be as sweet and pleasant as it was before. But, Doctor, about her and Frank.
Frank?
Yes. Can you give your word that these people do not intend to do anything rash?
Ah, who is to answer for what acts of recklessness a young man will commit?
But, Doctor...
Lady Arabella!
Oh. Sir Louis.
I've been talking to your husband, Lady Arabella. It's good to be able to put a face to a name I'm always seeing in my accounts. Nice house, this.
Indeed it is.
I hardly know which I like better, this one or Boxall Hill.
Sir Louis, I wonder if
now,
I
you've the advantage in trees here and such like, but Boxall Hill is very comfortable.
Oh, you'd hardly recognize the place now, Lady Arabella, if you haven't been there since my father bought it.
I have not been there, Sir Louis, since your father bought it.
Yeah. How much do you suppose he spent on the house and grounds?
I have no idea.
Guess.
I never guess.
Well, I'll tell you then. £22,419, 4 shillings and 8 pence.
Really?
A tidy sum.
I think the architect might have shown some generosity, though, and dropped the 4 and 8 pence.
Eh?
Damned hot in London.
Oh, great heavens.
I found it so at least. I don't know what keeps fellows there when it's so bad.
Well, oh, there you are, Doctor. I thought you must have fled the house.
I had a mind to, Frank. I truly did.
Yes.
Your friend is getting pickled.
I fear so. Mm. I've asked for the carriage to come for him a little early.
A sound idea. How is Mary?
She is well.
I wish she could have been here this evening. Then again, she's probably better off at home. I'd be very grateful, Doctor, if you would send her my love.
Yes. Yes, I'll do that.
You won't forget, will you?
No, Frank. I won't forget.
Oh, there's nothing like land. Oh. I'll have a bottle, Gatsby, if you've done with it.
Yes, Sir Louis.
Nothing like dirty acres, is there, Squire?
Land is a very good investment, certainly.
What do you think, Mr. Gatsby?
Well, I'm...
Or do you only give an opinion when you're being paid for it?
What?
But listen, Gresham. Now, the figures are all totted up.
Sir Louis, please.
And you're down in my books for pretty near £100,000.
No. Hold your tongue, sir.
What?
Hold your tongue. We'll not talk about business now.
Oh, very well. Let's go and join the ladies. I'm always ready to join the ladies.
Forgive me, Sir Louis, but it cannot be permitted.
What do you mean? Why not?
And you'll have no more wine either.
Come now, Doctor.
Mr. Gresham, Mr. Gatherby, my apologies. If you would both care to leave Sir Louis with me.
Huh?
He and I will stay here till our carriage arrives.
Mary, my sweetest. Did your uncle pass on my message?
Yes, he did.
Well, now I'm come to give you the words in person. Mary, I love you. And loving you as I do, I wish to ask you again if you can return my love and we can be man and wife.
Oh, thank you.
There may be difficulties for us, but if you love me, we can get over them.
Oh, but is it not wrong? Is it not imprudent?
Oh, I'm sick of having to be prudent. If it is imprudent, let it be so, but it is certainly not wrong. Not if we love each other. You do love me, Mary, don't you?
Yes, Frank. I do love you.
Oh, Mary.
And if that were all, you would have no cause for fear.
My dearest, I have no cause for fear, none whatsoever.
But your mother, your father too.
Mary, we must be true to each other. We must be firm. Nothing that any of them can say shall drive me from my purpose. Will you, for your part, promise as much?
Yes, Frank. Yes, I will be firm. Nothing they say shall shake me.
I'll tell you something, Doctor. I won't be made a prisoner of.
A prisoner, Sir Louis? Surely not. You are free to go as you please.
I am not free to go. I'm not strong enough to move from this bed. But I should not for that reason be denied my requests. I asked for a liqueur with my coffee. It was not brought. I asked for my bottle of cherry brandy.
It was not brought.
I won't endure it, Doctor. I'll not be treated like this.
Well, then you must leave us. When you think you are recovered, that is.
You'd like me dead, wouldn't you, Doctor?
Oh.
I do believe you would.
Sir Louis, I am doing all I can to save your life. And while you remain in my house, I shall continue to keep from you the means of destroying yourself. If you are wise, you will stay here another week or two and benefit from the regimen I have tried to set. But I have no power over you. As I said, you are free to go.
Well, I will go as soon as possible. I've done pretty well all that I can here. That damn lawyer Gatsby over to see me this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Made things pretty plain. Gresham must pay up fast, Doctor, or else we'll have recourse to the law.
Sir Louis.
No, no, I want that money. I want to invest it in land.
But it is...
My mind is made up, Doctor. It will not dissuade me. Doctor.
Yes, Sir Louis?
You don't actually think I'm going to die, do you?
I don't think it. I know you will. If you continue to...
Yes, yeah, but if I go along as you advise me...
We're all of us in God's hands, Sir Louis, but at least you'll be giving yourself the best chance.
It's very hard. I have nobody to say a kind word to me.
Oh, dear.
All those friends up in London, not one of them cares a straw for me, really.
You may be right there, Sir Louis.
But you're a good fellow, Doctor. An honest fellow. And I do believe you'd like me to be well.
I would, I assure you.
I could do it. I could, I'm sure, but not on my own. I need a wife to help me, Doctor. I want to marry your niece.
No.
Please.
I advised you before. And indeed, I understand that she has told you herself.
Oh, but I love her.
Louis, it is quite impossible.
I love her. I do, I do. You've been promised that young Gresham fellow, I suppose. Oh, God, I love her. I love her.
I have done all that I promised Louis' father. I have done all that I promised myself. But my efforts will be in vain. Sir Louis will drink himself to death. We'll manage it long before he reaches the age of 25. And Mary then will be heir to the Scatcherd estate. She will become a rich woman. The likelihood of this is very strong. So strong that I wonder whether I ought not to be candid. Ought not to tell Squire Gresham what Mary's prospects really are. Surely by doing so I might prevent much anguish, much heartache. It won't do. I shall not be candid. I shall not speak about the will, not while Sir Louis lives. Let Frank marry Mary for one reason only. Because he loves her.
You received a note from Beatrice, I hope.
Yes, Lady Arabella.
I thought it best to advise you that I was coming. I didn't want to fluster you by arriving here without notice. Miss Thorne, Mary. As you know, Beatrice is soon to be married.
Yes, Lady Arabella.
And the poor girl is extremely anxious that you should be at the wedding. She is very fond of you, as indeed are all of us. And we all would be delighted to receive you at Greshamsbury House once again and make you welcome. Provided there was no objection to your being there.
Is there an objection?
Well, Mary, I think you best can answer that. A rumour has been persisting, Mary, that you are engaged to be married to Frank. You no doubt are aware of this rumour.
Oh, yes, I am aware of it.
And?
The rumour is true.
You are engaged?
Yes.
You are engaged to my son, Miss Thorne, and you dare to tell me so to my face.
Lady Arabella, I could not answer your question with a falsehood. I am engaged.
Then I fear it is indeed impossible for you to be received at Greshamsbury House.
At present, quite so, but...
Oh, believe me, Miss Thorne, it is altogether out of the question. Now, forever. Miss Thorne. Mary. This is a very unfortunate and a very distressing affair. Mary, you must release Frank from his promise.
Release him? No, it is for him to release me, if he wishes it.
Oh, but you know, Mary, how high-minded he is and honourable. He will not break his word to you. You know that. Is it right, therefore, is it noble of you? You have nothing to give him in return.
I have no money, it is true, but...
Is it right to bind him to his foolish promise?
Lady Arabella...
Release him, Miss Thorne. You know that he cannot marry without money. Think of Frank's position at Greshamsbury. Think of the house, the family, the name, and the pride that we take in it. Think of the pain you will cause us. Miss Thorne, if you really love my son, you cannot wish to bring on him, to bring on his family, such appalling misery. and devastation.
She is hateful to me. Hateful. But when she pleaded with me, pressed her arguments as to why I should not marry Frank, I could not fail to recognize some truth in them. And in truth, I do not believe that I ever gave much consideration, as I should have done, to the likely effect of my marriage on the Gresham family and on Frank's standing in the world. Perhaps it is true also that he did not make his proposal with sufficient forethought, and that now he has made it, he cannot be the first to draw back. So that this duty, and duty I think it is, must be mine. Mine. Oh, Lady Arabella is a hateful woman, and I will always find her so. And I fear that what she said was right.
Doctor, they cannot marry. You must know that.
Well, I don't know that exactly.
But they ought not, at least.
Ought not? Oh, I'm not sure about that either. Mr. Gresham, I have never interfered in this matter one way or the other, and I have no wish to do so now.
Perhaps you should have interfered.
I confess I don't see why. What is your objection to them marrying?
Need you ask? They will have nothing to live on, Doctor.
And is that the only obstacle?
It's enough, is it not?
There is no other difficulty. You would not, for instance, refuse your consent because of Mary's birth.
Dr. Thorne.
There was some talk a while ago connecting Frank with a certain Miss Dunstable.
Yes.
Would you have objected if Frank had married her?
Miss Dunstable is not illegitimate. At least I assume she is.
No, Mr. Gresham. So Miss Dunstable would have satisfied your ideas of high birth?
No, I don't think she would. But I will admit that the advantages of wealth do atone somewhat for a marriage beneath one's station. In the eyes of the world, that is.
And do they do so in your eyes?
Well, yes. But this makes no difference, Doctor, no difference at all. It's Miss Thorne that Frank wants to marry, not Miss Dunstable.
You've come to town on business?
Yes, Miss Dunstable, I fear so.
Business, business. You know, I have been trying to sell the ointment of Lebanon for 2 years now. Oh, the whole enterprise, I mean, not just the odd job. But my lawyer never lets me.
Also, Miss Dunstable, I am to do some thinking over while I'm in town. I promised Mother I would.
And is it Miss Thorne, by any chance, who is to be thought over?
Yes, it is. Mother says that she has had a talk with Mary. She says that Mary now feels in her heart that it would be wrong to continue the engagement, but at the same time she cannot draw back because of the promise she has made. So it is for me, says Mother, to set Mary free from that promise.
I see.
Oh, Miss Dunstable, it is much, much harder than I anticipated being a brave, true knight-errant.
I'm certain it is. But you have travelled far, have you not? It would be a great misfortune if you turned back now.
Dr. Thorne?
Oh, Frank. Oh, upon my word. I do beg your pardon. I fear that the journey and everything has rather tired me out.
Are you happy to talk here?
Of course.
There are pleasanter coffee houses in London, I should imagine. But anyway, I'm glad you could see me.
I'd have come sooner, but I had yet another appointment with the lawyers, and I didn't get your note till midday. What is this news of some importance? And why are you in London?
Well, I am in London on account of the news. Like you, I have been seeing lawyers, and I shall have to see them many times yet. The news is, Frank,
Sir Louis Scatcherd is dead.
Oh, poor fellow. Was it very sudden?
It was. Though not, of course, unexpected.
Were you with him?
No, Dr. Philgrave was. But there was nothing I fear that could be done to save him.
Oh, what
folly. First the father and now the son. Utter folly.
Yes. Nevertheless, his death will come as a great relief to you.
And what? On account of my duties as executor? Oh, yes, yes, indeed. It will be a relief to your father, too. All this wretched business about the loan can be finished with.
Well, finished with? I think not. Postponed, rather.
Postponed. Yes, as you say.
Doctor, I have received a letter from Mary, which I would like you to read.
Well,
she asks me to release her from our engagement. Pleads so very eloquently.
Yes.
And yet she does still love me, I'm certain.
Yes, Frank. I believe she does.
Do you wish me to give her up?
Dear boy, how could I? She'll find no better match in the whole world. Now, Frank, listen. This is my advice. Don't see Mary. Do nothing.
But
wait a while. Wait a fortnight. That will give me time enough, I would imagine. And after that, I will ask you to see me. I will ask your father, too.
A fortnight is a long time, Doctor, and Mary has suffered terribly.
She has. But wait a fortnight, if you will. And then something, I think, can be settled at last.
Before we begin on any other matters, Doctor.
Yes, Mr. Gresham?
Frank has been talking to me about Miss Thorne.
About Mary, Father.
Mary, yes. And I can tell you now that I have agreed to the match.
Oh, I'm very pleased to hear it.
She's a fine girl.
She is.
And as Frank has set his heart on marrying her, I suppose he must do so. It will not be at all easy for them.
Well,
they won't be rich, but Frank intends to take charge of some land and to farm it and...
Just 1 minute, Squire, please. The death of Sir Louis makes something of a difference to all this, you know.
Perhaps, but not permanently.
Mr. Gresham, Frank, you know, it has grieved me very much to see the Gresham estate melting away, to witness the loss of family acres that have for so long been the heritage of the Greshams.
Need we talk about this now, Dr. Thorne?
Forgive me, but I particularly wanted to make myself understood on this point. You see, Frank, I would never have permitted Mary to think of being married to you if I had not considered that it would be for the best.
Well, it will be for the best.
I hope so. Indeed, I am sure of it. So then, to the reason for my wishing to talk to you. And I am sorry that I could not have talked 2 weeks ago, but there were preliminary steps I had to take. Frank. Dear Frank.
Yes, Doctor.
Frank, your wife will not, as you suppose, come to you empty-handed. I wish for your sake and for hers that her birth were equal to her fortune. Her moral worth, at any rate, is superior to both. But money, she has. Or will have.
Indeed.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gresham. Your son's marriage will put an end to your pecuniary embarrassments. Unless, of course, young Frank should prove to be a hard creditor.
I don't understand.
Then let me be plain. My niece, Mary Thorne, is Sir Roger Scatcherd's heir.
She's what?
The heir?
Yes. Well, then, I ought to explain as well as I can of what her fortune consists.
But
a good while, you know, getting all the paperwork in order for you.
Doctor Thorne, what is it you mean?
I told you, Mary is Sir Roger's heir.
Well, you're certain of this?
Oh, yes. I wasn't 2 weeks ago, but since then I've been to the best lawyers in the land, Sir Abraham Haphazard among them, and I'm assured that there is not the slightest doubt. Now, Mary's fortune. I have all the figures here somewhere.
Sir Roger's heir.
Including, Mr. Gresham, the exact amount that you owed the Scatcherd estate and now owe her. So when do you mean to pay my niece? You'll be in a great hurry.
Well, I'm sure.
Oh, what's this? Item for the treating of Farmer Oakelrath's gout? Oh, dear. There's such a bother all these pieces of paper.
Dr. Thorne.
Look, let's make it simple. These are the Boxall Hill deeds. These are the Greshamsbury deeds, which lately had been transferred to the Scatcherd estate, and which will now be going back to Greshamsbury. Though, in truth, all these deeds should sit in the same pile, since Boxall Hill and Greshamsbury are one again. There. All together. That's the way.
Does Mary know about this?
Not one word. I thought you might tell her. She's in the drawing room.
But you see, it's possible, is it not? Since the circumstances have now altered so much. Dr. Thorne, I shan't hold her to our engagement.
What on earth do you mean?
Now that things are so changed, she must have time at any rate for consideration.
Oh, yes, yes, by all means. How long shall we give her, Mr. Griffin? 3 minutes? Go and see her, Frank. You've been ready enough with your visits when you knew you should stay away.
I don't think I can comprehend it all yet. I'm too bewildered.
You go to her, Doctor. It's you that should do it.
And so I went to Mary. And not without many tears. From her and me, I explained everything to her as well as I could, including the circumstances of her birth. And later that day, Mr. Gresham told the Lady Arabella the news. Told her that Frank, after all, was to marry money. Upon which I gather she fainted. And her first words, when she revived, were...
Dear Mary. Dear Mary.
It seems so very strange, Beatrice, being back with you at Greshamsbury House.
Oh, Mary, you are one of the family once more. I am so happy. Tell me, is it yet decided when you are to be married?
Well, it will not be before you are, Beatrice, dear. You may be certain of that. Early in April, perhaps. Though not as early as the first of that month. But Frank and I want to be taken seriously, you know.
Now, here is Mama.
Mary.
How do you do, Lady Arabella?
Mary. Oh, Mary. Oh, my child, my daughter, my dear Frank's own bride. Oh, Mary, can you forgive me? Can you forgive me?
Lady Arabella.
If I have ever seemed unfriendly to you or unkind, it has been because of the love I feel for my dear, dear son.
Oh.
You know that, do you not?
Lady Arabella, all these things are over now. You have asked me here to be received as Frank's future wife. And so, you see, I am come.
And this was the very place, I'm sure, where I told you I loved you.
Well, I think there are many places where you've told me that.
It was my 21st birthday.
And you were very formal with me. You called me Mr. Gresham, which you had never done before.
Yes, Mr. Gresham. Dearest Mr. Gresham. Not much has happened since then.
We are to be married.
Yes. We must be wealthy, too. And Frank, when we are wealthy, I'm to buy a bonnet.
Just one?
A French bonnet. I promised Uncle I would.
It seemed to me that the greater part of Barsetshire was at the wedding. Numerous de Courcys, the Duke of Omnium, who never usually goes anywhere, I'm told, and whose presence rendered Lady Arabella quite ecstatic with pride and pleasure. Dear Lady Scatcherd was present, of course. And one of the bridesmaids was Miss Dunstable, whom I found to be a very interesting lady. She wondered if I might like to buy up her business. Ointment of Lebanon, you know. Archdeacon Grantly and Mr. Oriel together performed the ceremony. And the day passed pleasantly enough. Frank's speech at the dinner informed us, among other things, that he was still every inch aggression. And I remember that Miss Dunstable caught Mary's bouquet and was much amused at doing so. And now, Frank and Mary have established themselves at Boxall Hill. Lady Scatcherd does not live there, though Mary pleaded with her to stay. She has a cottage in Greshamsbury, but she goes to see them from time to time. As do I, when this house has grown just a little too quiet. I know the way to Boxall Hill just as well as I did, and the tea that Mary offers there is as good as ever it was when she was at Greshamsbury. Sweet, dear girl. Her husband, I think, is a fortunate man. And she, in turn, is fortunate in him. I wish joy to them both. From the bottom of my heart.
That was the final episode of Dr. Thorne by Anthony Trollope, dramatized for radio by Martin Wade. Dr. Thorne was played by John Wood, Mary Thorne by Amanda Root, Frank Gresham by Michael Higgs, Lady Arabella by Eleanor Bron, Squire Gresham by Christopher Benjamin, Miss Dunstable by Serena Cadell, and Louis Scatcherd by Adrian Lucas. Lady Scatcherd was played by Tessa Worsley, Beatrice by Colleen Prendergast, Mortimer Gazeby by Steve Hodson, Sir Lambda Mewnew by Stephen Critchlow, and Sir Micron Pye by Jonathan Keeble. The production assistant on the serial was Leslie Allen. Dr. Thorne was directed by Cherry Cookson.